Ladder Boy.
I'm with Dan on this one.
This is a Bramble Jam
podcast. Being a Ladder Boy, there's no way around it.
Hi, my name is Bran. I love Hallmark Christmas movies. Yeah.
Hey, my name is Panda. I like Hallmark Christmas movies. Yeah.
Hey, my name is Dan, and you know what? I can't stand those Hallmark Christmas movies.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast. Yeah. This is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't think it went as well as we thought it did.
No, it went terrible.
No, it went really bad.
You did one melody. He did another. So I was kind of caught in betwixt and between. And then the Deck the Hallmark podcast was really bad. I can't believe we spent 20 minutes on that in show for them. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
Tracy became just like such a taskmaster. We just kept going over it over and over again. And I thought we had it.
She got it in her head that people like it when we
sing. We over-prepared, yes. I think, is what happened.
I think I panicked. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Let's do like a different one, but it's totally different. It's like a we're not doing what we planned. We're doing something totally different.
Okay.
Right. Something totally different. My name is Brandon. I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you put out there, what track you lay down. He's going to say, hey, to figure out his own rapping beat. It's not going to be on your beat. You're going to do this one, and he's going to go, hey, my name is Panda. He's going to do his own beat. Because he can't follow that beat.
No, but I loved it. I thought it was so nice.
You marched to be your own drum.
It was beautiful.
I don't like being put in a box as a creative artist. Mm. And I think that that's one of the things you need to understand.
You said that from the moment we met you. It was one of the first conversations we ever had.
It really was. You asked me why I was teaching the Italian city states for the 12th week in a row. And I said, hey.
Don't want to be put in a box.
Don't put me in that box.
How many times have you been in a box, like a literal box?
Oh, yeah, quite a few times. Yeah. That's why I don't want to go back. don't like them. I was always too big for the box I was in.
Too big for the box that I got. I'm still panning from the block. We are talking, it's Friday. It's Friday Christmas. Christmas Friday.
Friday Christmas. It's Christmas our first Friday. One.
Yes. I'm very excited about this, everybody. We're doing the 2012 classic, A Bride for Christmas.
It was a different world in 2012,
boy, wasn't it?
Very, very, very different worlds. I hope you watched it. It's on Prime.
You're not going to believe us if you didn't watch it. I can tell you that right now. You're not going to believe the things that we talk about in this episode if you didn't watch it. So there's going to be some episodes that aren't free, that the movies aren't free. Like, you're going to have to rent them or find them a hard copy somewhere. This one is free on Prime.
And it's LimeWire.
You got a LimeWire. You got a Napster, I believe.
You want to know what's so funny?
Yeah.
Napster still exists.
Really?
Yeah.
For what reason?
For Napster. I don't know.
For Napster?
Yeah. That's what, that was the-
I Napster that.
That was Napster. Hey, how'd you get that album? Napster.
Napster it.
Napster it. Yeah, that's still around, man. Napster time.
Unbelievable.
It's A Bride for Christmas Prime. Super excited to talk about it. We're going to be doing a different movie every single week. Very excited about it. Let's see what we have for next week. What do we think we on Monday for the non Hallmark movie with Alonzo, Mark Paul, 12 Dates of Christmas. You can watch that on
Disney Plus.
Don't get that confused with the 12 Dates of Christmas.
There's the 12 Men of Christmas on the 12th date. 12 Dates of Christmas, and there's another one.
Yeah, just look for Zach Morris. Next Friday, we've got Spirit of Christmas, mm-hmm. which is also free with Prime. And then it's all downhill from there.
It's all downhill from there.
Free.
Then you're going to start shelling out some money.
Sorry, everybody.
I mean, some people get them illegally. We would not recommend that on this program, but some people do it. So,
The nerve. You guys ready to talk about it?
Oh, yeah.
Bride for Christmas originally aired on December 1st.
I hope there's nothing offensive in this.
2012. And the synopsis? There's nothing offensive in the synopsis.
In the movie.
2012. It was like the Wild West back
then. I want to get Andrew on the phone without him knowing and just ask him if he stands by everything in this movie. He won't remember. I bet he wouldn't remember.
I bet he
would just be like, yeah, why not, bro?
Yeah, it's great.
Then we'll say some things and we'll be like, so stand by it, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Went a little something like this.
Jesse is getting ready to marry Mike. Apparently, this is not the first time she's been engaged. This is going to be number three for her. She gets to the altar this time, though, but she keeps on walking and she leaves. It's a real runaway bride sitch. Aiden is playing cards with his pals. They're ragging on him for not being, relationship material. And like, you know, how they're all married and stuff and how cool that is. And he's like, listen, I can get any girl to fall in love with me. And so they end up betting that he could not get a girl to fall in love with him by Christmas. They're like, there's no way. He says there is a way. It's going to be tough, though. It's only 4 weeks away. So he's at this art thing for a client. Jesse's there as well. And he finds out that she's an interior designer and is like, hey, can you come and do my place? And she's like, no, but her sister overhears and is like, she will be there. So she shows up and is awkward. And then her engagement ring pops out of her bag that she has with her all the time. Just it's boom. It's real awkward. But they hang out some more and they bond over their mutual love of scary movies and burgers. She likes burgers.
Not just any burgers, Brian.
What kind of burgers?
12-ounce fat boys.
He volunteers at an animal shelter to spend more time with her, and then goes to family game night. Guess who also shows up to family game night? Fiance Mike, the guy that she left at the altar. They play poker. Aiden ends up betting his car and ends up losing his car. But what can he do? Aiden then starts to like her, calls off the bet. He then goes to the animal shelter, berates some guy in front of his children. And Jesse's like, yes, please. Goes right over to him, kisses him big ones with that mid-movie kiss. She goes home and it's like, Aiden is the one. He's the one. I've never felt this way before. He's the one. Her sister tries to convince Jesse to propose to Aiden. And so she goes to finish the apartment and pops the question right then and there. And Aiden's like, and she's like, oh, but then he's like, yes. And she's like, hey. And so he tells his buddies and they're like, this is amazing. But you called off the bet. So sorry. Fiance Mike overhears it naturally as he's working on the manhole. And so he goes over and tells her everything. She goes and finds him, confronts Aiden, and he's like, I called it off, so no harm, no fouls. But she's not having it. So her mom decides she still wants this wedding to happen anyways. And so she invites Aiden to come over for Christmas, and she gets the Reverend to come over to their house on Christmas, and she gets all of the friends to come over on Christmas. And Aiden is there and says, I'm so sorry that I bet you, but I did adopt this dog. She says, yes, we can get married. They kiss in front of the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. And that, my friends, was a bride for Christmas.
We did it.
I saw that come across my phone as I was reading that, and it was
it's tough.
Real humdinger. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to
reset.
Reset. We're going to come back, break this movie down even further here on Thank the Hallmark. We're back, everybody. Hey. We're back. Very exciting.
Pretty straightforward, this Bride for Christmas.
Not a lot going on here. We have four segments to break it down to share how we felt about this movie from 2012. And I say we start with a hot take. We share how we felt about it. We don't hold back.
I like it.
Panda, do you think you can handle it?
I think I can handle it.
Handle it, please.
Okay. Really like this movie. Here's what I like about it. Because the older Hallmark movies just don't follow those same beats that the new ones do. Like, even the newest of this season, you know, post Bill Abbott, which has different beats across the different plot points and those kind of things. 2012 is just playing by a different set of rules. And like, it's fun to watch, man. Like, it just is. Like, do we approve of everything in these movies? No. Are there some really crazy things that I can't believe we would have been okay with in 2012. No, world has changed a lot in 9 years. It's bonkers. But that said, man, it's fun to watch. Everyone seems like they're having a really good time in this movie. Andrew Walker is fun watching this character. Like, I really enjoyed his character here. I don't know who's his female actor.
I don't remember her name. She was in a movie in 2019 too.
Okay, I really liked her. I don't know why Hallmark hasn't been using her lately. She's adorable. She's great in this. Had a lot of fun with it. There's
Arielle Kebble.
Yeah, she's...
Or Cabell.
She's great, man. Like, I really liked her. And I thought it was... there's some really funny points in this movie overall. Yeah, is it ridiculous and over the top? Like, yeah, even more so than what you normally get in Hallmark movies. Like, as different as the plot points are, the over-the-topness is there as well, which I really create some great wait what's, and it's just, it's a fun movie all the way around. Here's my biggest complaint about this movie, if I were to have something. This is a Christmas movie, not a lot of Christmas feels, almost none for me. In fact, Christmas might as well not even really be there other than they get, you know, married on Christmas, but that's about it.
Yes. This movie's wild. It's crazy. I haven't seen this movie on Hallmark in a few years. I'm not sure if they still have it in that Christmas rotation. But it's a fun one. I'll give you that much. it's crazy. I think, I mean, there's a lot of parts of this movie that like make me laugh. I think my favorite part of this movie is the dad. Like, I just think his reactions are so odd to everything that's happening with his daughter. It is a very weird way to react to your daughter's life. It's just very interesting to me. He made me laugh a lot. I loved it. It's so much fun. So weird. Great. It's 2012, baby. Anything can happen. Big fun. Maybe six.
You know... how there's these movies that came out like in a different time, mm-hmm. and you loved them when you saw them, and then you watch them now and you cringe because it's like, yeah, that's probably not appropriate. I can't believe I like that. I don't remember that being in the movie. Imagine watching one of those movies for the first time, and it's a Hallmark movie, because there's not veiled. There are just straight out illegal immigrant jokes in this movie. There are numerous not great gay jokes in this movie. It is, there are vegan jokes in the movie and not in the fun way that they do nowadays. It is wild to see what 2012 Hallmark looks like. I can report it's more offensive. I can also report it's still very bad. Yeah. The movie is super bonkers. I mean, they don't even, you know, they set up this premise where you got 4 weeks to fall in love and get her just to propose. The proposal happens less than halfway through the movie, and they actually get married. So Hallmark's like, I'll see your 4 weeks to a proposal and raise you getting married. And that's not the only bad poker analogy in this movie. It's got some stuff in it. It's got Peter Benson, who is a Hallmark lifer supporting character, just creeping in this movie, just straight up eyeball ogling women in this movie. It happens. Andrew Walker is just pure jock in the movie. It does so many things that Hallmark just never would do nowadays that it was hard to watch with a straight face. So many times I was like, what is happening in this movie? What's going on? How did this poker game at this mom and dad's house get this out of hand this quickly? Bucket of wait what's, I was more entertained because early on, the tone is set. Kimberly Sustad is wearing things and saying things that you were not going to wear and say in Hallmark nowadays. And from that, the tone is set early that I'm like, all right, what is going to happen next? I don't know. All the bets are off. And from that aspect, definitely eminently watchable, but not a good movie by any stretch of the imagination. And Andrew Walker has clearly improved as an actor over the years. And I think he would even say that himself.
Let's talk about all the feels, shall we?
Please.
Things in this movie that gave us those feels. Panda?
There's several things here that I think work. For me personally, really liked the big kiss mid-movie. That's a big kiss.
Big kiss.
And I really like that. I like the poker game. I got some feels from the poker game where him and the...
Mike?
Mike are going head-to-head. I think that's a funny scene. And legitimately, like, there's stakes involved here. Like, they're
betting their cars. That's right.
Involved. And the fact that he doesn't win is, to me, just, it's great. Like, I enjoyed that. That's a lot of fun. So, yeah, those are my big feels for there.
I said I love the dad. I thought he just, like, he was very just like.
You know what, though?
Whatever happens.
What's great about that performance is, that's exactly what a dad would be like whose daughter had been engaged and almost married three
times. He's just like, whatever. Whatever happens at this
point. Oh, they're betting their cars? You know, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
You're engaged again? Great. Great for you.
He's just so like, I'm watching this. I wonder what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Like, we'll just kind of see what happens here.
It's time to be an active participant. Yes. And it's not yet.
It's not yet. And I thought, you know, I thought the Andrew getting the dog at the end, I like that. You know, the dog running in and her being like, what? You got him? I thought that was sweet. Dan?
Yeah, the dog stuff worked for me. I have three rescue dogs. Dogs are family in our household, and just they're all rescues. And seeing a dog get returned over and over again, get a home, is great. But the scene that worked is she creates this giant picture for his living room that's a picture of him and his dog, one of his few happy memories from childhood. And she makes it a giant picture that's the centerpiece of his living room. And it looks great, and it's a really thoughtful, legitimately good moment in this movie that worked for me. But all of the rescue dog stuff, as it generally does, even if it's not, you know, even if it's purely manipulation, you know, rescue dog stuff works with me because I want to take all the rescue dogs home myself. So yeah, the picture that she put in the middle of his house with him and the dog from when he was a kid is the best moment.
They do better with the dogs in this movie than they do in other dog movies that we've seen with Hallmark.
Some of it's over the top.
Like with the dog kicking him, like that's over the top, but it's funny, right? The dog
jumping above the thing.
That's funny, man.
But it's just kind of, it was a little bit larger than life, but they don't shoehorn it in. It seems like a more natural part of the movie.
The awkward thing is that it wasn't actually him with that dog. It's a picture he found in a catalog and just showed it off. He tried to play it off at his own, but it's not.
It's not him?
I don't know. I just think that would be funny. If he sees the picture, he's like,
look at this.
This is amazing.
What you would do if that you were doing that?
I mean, he's already a liar, so, and you know, who cares?
So what you're saying is, once you lie, I just go ahead and double down.
I think that's the rule of thumb. Yeah, right? Okay.
Just double down.
I read a book called Rule of Lie, and first page says, first do it, and then the second is double down. Third, say sorry. So you do it.
Double down,
and then lie.
Say sorry. Come on, man. Three steps.
We're going to take another break.
Confused.
We're going to come back. We're going to get to the wait, what's? Break this movie down even further. Here on Deck to Hallmark.
Is this good, Bram? Good stuff? Quality? Gonna get us on the podcast awards? iHeartMedia? Give us that nom.
It's time for the Wait, What? It's the part of the show. We talk about what in this movie made us go, wait, what? Panda?
At the very beginning of the movie, she's at this place called New Modern, which is just, first of all, great
New
name.
Modernism.
New Modernism.
That's right.
Which is just, we were talking, from a philosophy standpoint, that's just postmodernism. It's just postmodernism. But anyway, that's not the wait, what? Although it could be one. The wait, what is, she goes up to a sculpture that I'm not really sure what's happening there, but there's like a piece of fuzz connected. It's like there's a piece of the sculpture connected to the fuzz, and she knocks it off. And then
he's about to polish off an entire thing of just rainbow sprinkles.
I got to be honest with you. That is not the healthiest thing. Do you do this on the regular?
Good gosh. My stomach's sick just looking at you. Just
only when it's readily available.
Do the chocolate ones taste different? Like the chocolate sprinkles in those?
They do. I'm a Rainbow Jimmy's guy.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail you.
No, go you're ahead. Fine. She knocks off part of the sculpture, and then it cuts back to her, and she's like, she puts it back on. She puts the piece of the sculpture back on.
Yeah.
But then she goes back and she
rips it off.
Rips it off. Like, yeah. What are you doing? Like, I don't understand. And then somebody was like, I guess that's why they call it New Modernism. I don't understand what that has to do with any. It doesn't make any sense. This movie has a really fun feature that will, if anything, this will be the thing that stands out in this movie, is how many times people suddenly appear in this movie out of nowhere. I mean, it happens with Mike multiple times, but my favorite bit is the lamp guy. They're watching a horror movie, and then the lamp guy comes out of nowhere and just sets down the lamp directly behind them in the creepiest way possible. Mm-hmm. How did he get, there's an elevator to get to the guy's house. How did he get in without them hearing? Where did he come from? That wasn't even the right direction he was supposed to be coming from. If you were going, I have so many questions about the lamp guy.
It's one of the most absurdist pieces of filmmaking that I've seen on Hallmark ever. He looks like he's there to rob the place.
Yep.
Like he's in all black, black gloves, black hat. And he just waits to the most suspenseful part of the movie and just wham, sets down the lamps. And it does not make any sense at all whatsoever.
I love it. My final wait what is she has one client at this point. Oh, mm-hmm. It's him. And she forgets to tell him, by the way, your floors are going to be completely refinished today. You can't walk on them for 6 hours.
6 hours, yeah.
Like, just how do you forget? He's one client. You have one client. You have one job.
Yeah.
You have one job. Yeah. And just to let your client know, some people are coming in to redo your floors. You can't
here's
walk.
The thing.
And it's nighttime when he's there.
And like, here's the other thing. Is hardwood floors, if you refinish those, it's a minimum of 24 hours. A minimum. You don't go back in the house for 24 to 48 hours until they're completely sealed. That is standard operating procedure. To not tell him is bad, and then to say it's 6 hours, no big deal, is even worse. Like, she's just not good at her job.
Well, and then also, if you look at the floors, it's tile in there. So
The whole thing is not tile. Well, the living room.
I know at one point, I just saw tile
floor. Why would they be resealing tile floors? That didn't make any sense.
Well, that would be a wait what then, wouldn't it, man? That's why we do this.
She's resealing tiles?
I don't know. I'm sure part of it was wood. I'm sure it's on me. I'm sure it's on me. It's always my fault. I'm going to step aside.
Calm down. I don't know. Are you all right?
I saw tile.
My biggest wait what is this girl who has been engaged 3 times because she can't say no to a proposal has the nerve to call Andrew Walker damaged goods because his parents got divorced.
That's right.
When he was
That's right. That is the ultimate wait what of this movie. There's
the
no doubt about it.
The nerve of this girl.
3 times.
His parents got divorced.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to like most people nowadays.
And not marriage material.
By her own admission, in all 3 cases, said yes to the proposal because she was felt pressured to do so.
Right.
3 times. Still didn't learn her lesson. But the guy that could be on commitment and marriage is the guy whose parents are divorced. It's absurd.
Bad.
Couple of other things. She gives a business card to a Kimberly Sustad, the sister, gives a business card. It's just
paper.
It's just straight paper.
Yep.
It's just a paper card. The punching bag. Let's talk about the punching bag. So he says that most of the stuff was moved in. I was already here when he moved in, except for like 3 things.
Yeah.
One was his pillow that his mom made. Another was like something else.
The couch.
He doesn't mention the punching bag.
He says the couch, the TV, and one other thing.
Yeah. And the pillow.
The pillow. That's it. Yeah.
He does not mention the punching bag.
Came included.
The punching bag came included in his apartment? I mean, cool. I mean, that's nice.
Pretty cool bachelor pad there.
Super, super neat. You know, this is just, I think Hallmark, got pretty good at not doing this type of goof the more that they were making them. But she's in a completely different sweater.
When they go walking.
Where they're at the shelter and they're, he shows up for the first time. And then they go to take the dog outside for a walk. And she's just in a completely different sweater. She goes for, it's Greta Brown. How did that happen?
That's bad.
How did it happen?
Real bad.
It's just amazing.
I think she filmed it the same day she filmed the last scene at the dog. Because the last scene at the dog shelter when she's given a Merry Christmas dog bones, she's in that darker sweater that she wears when they're walking. So it's probably a filmmaking situation.
Classic filmmaking situation.
Yeah, there's a bunch in this. It all starts at the first poker game, though. He's having poker night with his boys, and a couple of weird things happen. First of all, he's got a friend named Stu. I wouldn't trust Stu as far as I could throw him, but he was like, they're trying to argue as if there's such thing as soulmates. And Stu is married, supposedly happily married, not like on the fence about it. And they're like, Stu, be honest. Is Bev the one? Bev's his wife. I would hope so. And Stu doesn't know. Stu, you're married, bro. Like, you can't, no. You cannot waffle there. You can't be like, I don't know, man. I just don't know. Most nights I lay in bed just thinking, is she really the one? No, you can't do that. Then creepy Peter Benson and Andrew Walker make a wager that he can't propose to a girl in 4 weeks, and they handshake, and this is a classic Hallmark editing, because they hold that handshake for 3 solid seconds. They're just like this, frozen over the poker table, and it's just like freeze and wait for the next scene to start, and they just hold it there, and then they finally go. It's a weird handshake. Next, can we talk about Meathead Mike for a little bit?
I love Meathead Mike.
Meathead Mike is Brandon Routh's stunt double. He is the third fiance of our leading lady, and he still thinks he's going to win her back and refuses to take the ring back. How does he think he's going to win her back? Have I got some news for you? Ladies, try to say no to this. I think I'm going to get a contract with the city, and if I do, it includes a health plan. That's how he's winning her back. I think I'm going to get a contract with the city, and if I get it, health insurance, baby. That's right. Health insurance. I know you left me at the altar, but have you heard about healthcare.gov? Have you heard about my cool new plan of health? I'm going to be covered. I'm going to be covered with health insurance. Now you want me back, right? That actually happens. Also, he's a guy that fixes clogs for a living. His shirt says like Mike's Clogs on it. And he's like, apparently clogs include a manhole cover in a busy street in the middle of town. If that thing is clogged, the whole city is screwed. It's over. If that thing is clogged, if he's working there.
He's clearing up the fat burgers down
right,
there.
That's right. Speaking of fat burgers.
What a segue.
I can't. Andrew Walker cannot get over the fact that a female likes cheeseburgers. Can't fathom it. Can't understand it. He's like, this is the most misogynistic thing. You want sushi or Thai? How about burger? Burgers? She likes burgers. Oh my gosh. I found a one in a million. Dude, everybody likes cheeseburgers unless you're vegan. It's coming. But then later on, he's like, bros. He's talking to his bros. Bros. She likes burgers. I'm talking 12-ounce fat boys. Look, I get it. We're trying to sound all macho. 12-ounce burger, that's a 3/4-pound burger. That is unsightly. This side of man versus food, you don't want any part of that. And somebody that orders that on a first date, you need to kick them to the curb before their heart disease sneaks up on you. I'm just telling you.
We'll explain why it took all day and it turned night before they were finished eating it.
No, nobody is eating. Are they sharing it for two meals? A 12-ounce burger. People are like, at restaurants, like, a half pound. I don't know. That's a lot. A half pound's 8 ounces. What is happening right now? I love a burger more than the next guy or more than the next girl. I do. I love them. That's bonkers. That's like 2 5-guy burgers. You are really getting it.
It's 12-ounce fat boys.
I mean, 12-ounce fat boys. Could have picked any number. Half pound. Just say half pound fat boys. I don't understand.
I've done a 1-pound burger one time. It was at a eating challenge in Raleigh, North Carolina.
We went to Red Robin and we did the double. And the double, I think, was around a pound or a little bit under it. And I'm
didn't
still
sit right.
Sick. I'm still sick. That was a year ago? It was forever ago.
12-ounce fat boys.
12-ounce fat boys. They don't know burgers. They don't know poker either. Andrew Walker and Magic Mike are playing poker together. And Andrew Walker's like, I'm all in. And Mike goes, I raise. Bro, this is not the old West. No one kicked in a saloon door. No one's ordering doubles of whiskey. This is mom and pop's house. If someone says they're all in, that's it. You cannot raise on all in. All in is all in. That's everything. You can just call. That's all you can do. But then they go through the whole thing where they bet each other's cars, which is quite funny. That's all I got. That's all I got right now for until what the hallmark.
It's time for What the Hallmark, Dan. Can you believe it?
I can.
Can you believe it? It's time for What the Hallmark. It's the part of the show where we wonder what could have been, maybe happened, give some clarity to the questions that we still have. Panda?
At the very end of the movie, she runs into her ex-fiancé, who is now with another woman. He, and as you and I saw, like, it's the same exact proposal they uses on this girl. Apparently it works again, and they're getting married. But he casually says, hey, we'll send you an invite to the wedding. And I want to know, does she take him up on that offer? It's a bold
move. It's a bold move.
There's a lot of bold moves that occur in that interaction. First of all, the fact that he is doing that same grand gesture with another girl. The proposal again. And then also...
No, another grand gesture. No,
another one. The grand gesture. Also, the very fact that he invites her right in front of his new fiance, which is a bold move. And then that if she was to accept, that also is a bold move. So... It's just a series of bold moves.
Series of bold moves.
I just want to know more what happens.
Yep. Kimberly Sustad is the sister in this movie. She doesn't do a ton. But one thing she does do is confuse the heck out of me. What's going on with her in this movie? There's something going on with her.
That's on my list.
My theorem is that she is hooking up with Mike.
What? But that doesn't make any sense aside from the one line... She says to him, and then she says she's going on a date. All movie long, if she's hooking up with Mike, he doesn't know it. And I don't think he knows much of anything, but he legitimately doesn't ever give any intimation that he wants anyone other than the lead. And, but there's this one weird scene.
There's a weird scene. Weird.
Where they lock eyes.
Where they lock eyes, and he agrees to stay for dinner. And then, like, 5 minutes later... She's getting super dressed up.
Yeah.
She's going out on a date. And in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's hooking up with my ex-fiance. But again, you're right, Dan. Mike is giving us no winky winkies to let us know whether or not that's happening.
So what is
going on with Kim?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Doesn't make any sense. I had that one. I have one more. I just want to be clear on this. After Andrew Walker's parents got divorced, they were like, hey, kiddo, look, your parents aren't going to be together anymore. We're going to live in separate locations. I know that that is heartbreaking for you. We're also getting rid of your dog. When they got divorced, they took that Joker's dog to the pound. These people are monsters. How? How do you do that to that poor kid? Like, I just want to know his parents. How could you possibly go, when we were together, you could have a dog. But now that we're divorced, we also are going to take the one constant in your life. Like, I can't believe it. Yeah, I can't believe that.
My heart.
I couldn't believe it. That was such a tough part of this movie for me. It doesn't make any sense, though.
Yeah.
No parents are like, look, it's going to be tough on the kid. Should we get rid of his dog?
Yeah.
Should we really get our bang for our buck here and really devastate him? Like, nobody does that. That's awful. I don't understand it. Doesn't make any sense to me.
He's damaged goods.
Yeah.
He's damaged goods.
12 ounce fat boys, though.
12 ounce fat boys, exactly right. We did it, everybody. We did it. Be sure to go to Hallmark Podcast, social media, find out about upcoming movies and all that good stuff. There's lots of scuttlebutt, Dan, on the Facebook chat about the movie that we mentioned not being a Hallmark. Did we get it right?
I looked it up, guys, and it said Hallmark. Well,
but now it's saying Lifetime. We'll have to do our we'll make sure we get it right, guys. We're not going to lead you astray here. We will figure this out. Follow us at Hallmark Podcast. We will not get this wrong. We will not get this wrong. Not this one. Not this soon.
Not this one. Not this soon.
Exactly right.
We might get other ones wrong, but way later, too.
Way later. That's exactly right.
Spirit of Christmas is a Mar Vista, so it was an acquired movie, regardless.
But I believe what people are saying is that it ended up on Lifetime, is what they're saying.
Wow.
We'll do some more scuttles. Guys, we'll do some more scuttles. Don't worry.
Can you deep dive it?
We'll do the deep dive. I'll actually have you go on Google Plus if you don't mind.
I want to say that. It's free on Prime.
I understand, but we have another day for non-Hallmark movies, I know. Friday's sacred.
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, it's time for the double decker of the week. We got another one?
Yeah, we do.
Very excited. Panda, double the deep dives this week. Were you able to? Was your computer able to handle it?
Yeah.
Well, he was doing four a week during the holidays.
I know, but it took a breather.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Was your computer steaming? Was it like what?
Yeah, it got a little warm.
Overdrive.
I had to do some servers and stuff like that.
Yeah, to do some servers.
Extra servers. Yeah. I have an entire room just devoted to my Google Plus.
How many servers do you have?
42 at the moment.
Wow. That's, man, we could use one around here.
Which server's your favorite?
Server 12.
Server 12.
Holds a special place for sure.
Her server's Jane at Red Robin. Always.
Oh, she's great.
She always brings us the fries early on.
She loves me. Now, some of thinking that that's my fault, and it's not my fault. I don't understand. I tip very well at restaurants.
You do tip very well, Dan. You also go through... all of the Diet Coke in the house. They're
but
just
I tip really
they
well.
They bring you. They just bring you the nozzle at the
nozzle?
End.
Just the guzzle.
Guzzle. So the guzzle. I was gonna say you guzzle the nuzzle.
It's Laura Lester this
week. The
Laura
Lester. Lester.
Yeah, yeah. Met her a few years back at Biscuit Con.
Okay, is this just a con for biscuits?
No. Biscuit Con is a place where people who have gotten arrested for stealing biscuits all meet up. It's a little fun.
So they're cons.
Yeah.
But it's a...
Yeah! Sometimes, man. Sometimes.
Biscuit
That's
con.
Good stuff.
Biscuit con.
So I don't even want to know anymore. That's just good.
For biscuits, but also it involves convicts.
I mean, it's...
So the con is both a con and it's four cons.
I mean, I guess if you want to look at
now,
it.
Now, can I ask you this? How many people were in attendance? How many people?
And so, Laura Lester, what was she in jail for? And you were in jail, too. So what were you in jail
they're
for?
They're all biscuit-related
thieves.
Somehow they all have to be
yes, they're cones. All. They were all arrested for stealing biscuits.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, different type of biscuits. Scones. That falls under the biscuit category. I'm debating on that. Doggy biscuits.
Who are you debating with?
Larry Biscuit.
It's
Larry,
hot.
Larry now is the last name, Biscuits.
Yeah. It's hot on the Reddits.
Yeah, it is hot on the Reddits. Larry was kidnapped. that and his kidnapper at the con.
So Larry is arguing with you about whether
he thinks scones should be in. I think scones should
be
out.
Wait, so the guy who was kidnapped is pro this convention?
Yeah, he goes and speaks. They made up.
He goes to speak.
Yeah, he's like he warns everybody. He's like, please don't do it anymore. It's kind of both a warning and at the same time a motivational because we all want to get on the right.
We
path.
We all want to get on the right path. That's exactly.
I think
right.
That's important.
What other type of biscuits? Quickly.
KFC biscuits.
No, sure. that's not a type of biscuit. That's a brand of biscuit. So it's a butter. That's KFC's a buttermilk biscuit, just like Hardee's or Bojangles.
Yeah, croissant.
Croissant.
Okay. You could debate.
So just
that.
Buttermilk biscuits.
Buttermilk
croissants.
Croissants. Doggy biscuits. Doggy
people biscuits. Whose last name is Biscuit.
Biscuit.
Yeah.
So how many people were there? How many people have
42?
42 people.
Same number of servers. He has.
Yep. Same number of servers. Yep.
Interesting. Wow. Congratulations for getting out and staying clean, Laura. Really appreciate that.
Laura's great.
Yeah. Can I ask you this? Like, is the number of servers a correlation? Like,
do you get a server per call?
Do you get a server per first?
Guys, it's kind of how I pour one out for my homies.
Interesting way to pour one out. Hey, we on the Facebook chat, did you see this?
No.
Everyone is saying that Kimberly Sustad's character is gay. That's why she makes the jokes. That's why she's going on the dates. That she is gay in the movie. She makes the jokes at the beginning, just tell mom and dad you're gay and they'll leave you alone.
Whoa.
Pretty crazy.
That's good stuff.
I just had no idea.
That blew my mind.
I doubt Bill Abbott had any idea as well.
There's no way Bill Abbott was okay with that, if that was the case.
That's good stuff.
That's the other part of it that I don't agree.
Boy, that is really under the radar.
We gotta ask Kimberly Sustad about it. We have to ask her.
Susty. Boy, man.
That's a lot.
Real frazzled. That really threw me for a loop.
Yeah, me too.
Wow. I feel like I gotta rewatch this whole thing and see if I get any more clues. We'll be back next week, everybody. We'll be back Monday. Alonzo will be here. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Until then, maybe we'll be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. BrambleJam.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam Podcast ad-free, go to BrambleJamPlus.com.